time for Hartley's CAT Scan, a weekly podcast featuring the who's who of your Prince George Cougars.
And welcome to CAT Scan, brought to you by Prince George Office Systems, custom business solutions for your print, scan, and copy needs. On the corner of 5th and George, our third podcast, season two, featuring the PG Cougars and their VP of Business, Andy Beasley. We had you on last year. You're back this year. We are early into this season, and I imagine you have gone through quite some changes since we last had you on the program.
Oh, you bet. That's the nature of the sports business, sports entertainment. It's like driving a speedboat through rough waves, and it goes really fast, and it changes directions often, and every day is very different.
And I imagine in the business world of hockey, it can be like the actual game itself. A lot of highs and quite a bit of lows.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. We actually refer to the business operations and the hockey operations, and we talk about how many similarities there are, including we are a performance-based business, and we've got targets, and we've got ratios, and we've got numbers that we go by. But we also just have the emotional part of the... So we share with the team. We're up and down with as the team goes, so do we, but also how our show goes every night, and we have nights where we're on top of the world and we're happy, we think we perform well, we put on a great show. We have other nights where we walk away going, boy, that was a tough night, and we tried hard but we didn't necessarily get the results that we wanted.
So the business department really is in the wins and losses. You don't try to keep an even keel. It probably sounds easy to say, but in reality, that's just not the way it goes.
Well, yes and no, because you're talking about the on-ice performance.
Yes.
Yes and no. We actually have a very, very firm, I would say, policy and belief system that we cannot get too high with the team or too low. Again, very similar to how a hockey player should be. You're supposed to be even-keeled. And whether the team's winning or losing, that's not really my focus or our focus on the business side of the team. We just want to put on a great night of entertainment. And if fans leave with their kids happy and everybody had a good show and everybody felt like they got good value for their money, whether the team won or lost, we're still feeling good that at least they got a good night of entertainment. Now, having said that, Hartley, I'd be lying to you if I said that we don't watch the game too. And we're all hockey fans. We're all in this business because we like hockey. And yeah, for sure, we do some what follow the team's success and failures as far as how we feel about things.
A little bit more of a serious note, you guys took, in my opinion, a major hit in the offseason. You lost a very valuable member of your team. I know you were really close to him, and I knew him very well. He was really instrumental in a lot of things with the Prince George Cougars, and that's a major change from when you and I talked last on the podcast, the passing of Gary Sammis.
Yeah, you bet, Hartley. And that's, to this day, that's a tough topic because it's Gary was everything. He was a friend. He was a valued colleague. He was one of our leaders. You know, we got Gary to join the Cougars team because he was involved in volunteering and helping with the golf tournament and doing such a great job with that. But he was also just such a keen Cougars supporter. So I used to joke with him all the time and say, Gary, you know, come and work here. And he says, I'm retired. I'm not working again. And I bugged him and bugged him and bugged him, just joking most of the time. But I had the strangest negotiation with him that I've had with anybody ever in my life. I said, Gary, honestly, if you want to come and work to us, you name what do you want to get paid? How many hours do you want to work? Do you want to work from home? You name it. You if you want to get involved, we'd love to have you on our team. And eventually he actually said yes, which blew me away. Gary became just a real trusted confidant for me, if that's the right word.
Yeah.
And one of the guys, similar age, a little bit older than me, but similar age, we could talk about things and bounce stuff off each other. And it really hurt a lot to lose him, and our team has suffered as a result of it.
There's no question about that. And you have a young staff for the most part. So how do you replace somebody like, you don't replace Gary, but for you, you need a sounding board, Andy.
Yeah. Well, a couple of answers to that. One is you don't replace a guy like Gary. And again, this is where we're not dissimilar to a hockey team. Sometimes you lose a key piece and you don't just You don't just replace them because they're a special person. And so I've never even thought about replacing Gary. The way I like to word it is that he left a mountain of a legacy behind, and it's up to us now to continue to build on that mountain, including the golf tournament, as well as what he gave to our business side of the business. So I'm not looking to replace Gary, but I'm very, very fortunate in that I've got a couple of the owners in particular I spend a lot of time talking with and bouncing things off. We have some different age groups within the office, and so, but I find that I get different experiences from talking with everybody. Like, I get just as much out of talking to one of our new young employees because they have a different perspective. And us old dinosaurs, we have to be pretty careful. We're listening to the young folks and letting them have their ideas, and they've got great ideas. These are experts in the field. And I've also got some other staff that I am able to bounce things off, as well as the owners. The owners have just been tremendous throughout Gary's passing, as well as in general in terms of me being able to chat things through.
Can you sort of give us a idea about what the younger generation, whether it is from your staff, whether it's from a young fan, that has given you an idea that you've taken the ball and run with, or are going to, that you, similar generation as myself, we probably wouldn't have thought doing?
Well, the biggest thing is first of all to recognize that it takes a team to be a good team. And by that, I mean, you have to have great people on your team, a variety of all the way from brand new rookies right through to seasoned professionals and everything in between. And that's number one, really. So the idea is that a young person that's brand new has probably got just as interesting an insight as somebody who's been around forever in the business. But I will say that I've been forcing myself to be very open-minded and just to let some things go. So I might inwardly wince a little bit at a certain type of promotion we're doing, or for that matter, not doing. But I also totally respect the fact that I'm a certain generation, and I'm not the younger generation. And so my ideas are not correct, hardly, nor are they wrong, incidentally. Right. Yeah. But there are other people with just as valid ideas as mine. So it's very much a give and take. There's every now and then I'll step in and say, we need to do it this way. But for the most part, I trust my staff 100%. Well, not for the most part. I do trust my staff 100%. And there are some decisions we're making that I'm very proud of, but we would not have made them 5 or 10 years ago. I'll give you an example. Yeah. We're doing a Pride Night after Christmas.
Okay.
And I will tell you, from a hockey point of view, I'm not aware that this has done much. I think there's one or two NHL teams that might have done a light version of it. I'm not sure of many, if any, Canadian Hockey League teams that have done this at all. And we went to the Pride Parade this year. We took our fan Boney down there. We took our mascot. We had specially made up t-shirts. We had a great time. And the main message we wanted to support in this community is the Cougars are all about inclusiveness, and we're about being open-minded, and we're about anti-bullying and providing positive role modeling. So we're going to do this Pride Night, and it's going to be a little groundbreaking for hockey teams to be getting into that category, but we're very happy to do it.
You have 34 home games, down from 36. This is the second year of that change. Does those two home games, take a little bit off? And do you need a promotion each of those 34, or do you look and say, we need a promotion? I'm not talking just feature games. Or do you need a promotion just on the Fridays, Saturdays? How does that sort of work?
Yeah, that's one of our biggest challenges that is not a surprise to a local hockey fan. Our doubleheader games, Tuesday, Wednesday, we play the same team. Friday, Saturday, we play the same team. And I'm not going to try and beat around the bush. Those are really difficult for us. So the way we approach is that we look at every single game, whether it's a Tuesday night at minus 30 against a fairly weak team or not a particularly strong team, or whether it's a Saturday night feature game. We treat every single game exactly the same. Now, we don't necessarily put the same amount of stuff into each game because we physically just can't do that. But the way I look at it is that our very worst night last year on a Tuesday night, again, minus 30, I think in the middle of February, we might have had 2,000 people in the arena. So on the one hand, it's only 2,000 people. On the other hand, it's 2,000 people that are paying good money to come and see us. If we were putting on a concert and you have 2,000 people coming, that's a pretty good number of people, or a play or anything else in this city. So we really respect the fact that those people are coming to our games, and we will put on the same show as any night. And then, of course, we go on steroids a little bit. Probably shouldn't use steroids in a sports broadcast, but we'll certainly amp it up for the feature games.
Attendance builds as the season goes on. Hockey teams will tell you that. But having said that, I do want to get your perspective on the fact that for the opening weekend, just shy of 29 for opening night and just shy of 2,200 for the Saturday. So you combine it, just a shade over 5,000 for two mm-hmm. nights. Your thoughts on that?
Isn't that awesome that 5,000 people came out to opening night to a team that is continuing to rebuild and didn't have a very good record last year? That's my reaction, honestly, Hartley. I'm not putting a spin on it.
Yeah.
Do we want more? Of course. I'd love to have 10,000 people over those 2 days. But 5,000 people coming out for opening weekend for a team in our position, thrilled to bits with that. I'm very, very encouraged by that. Our last night of the year, we had, I think, 5,200 tickets out there, legitimate tickets out there. And that was the closing night last year. So how can we be upset about that, considering our team is in a rebuilding mode?
Yes, okay. This brings up a little bit of a topic, not just really for the Cougars, but for all teams. And maybe you can speak about WHL, if not just the Cougars. How does the, whether it's low, high, or medium, how does the attendance number work? So, for example, you mentioned that one game last year you had 5,200 was the announced. Maybe there was 5,000 people there, you know, something like that. So often the attendance number that is announced may not equal the amount of people in the seats. Can you sort of give us a breakdown how that, not just for the Cougars, but WHL teams, everybody, how does this sort of work there?
Well, in our case, at least, yeah. And I think I speak behalf of most of the other teams, it's very cut and dried. So let me give you this analogy. Okay. Let's just pretend we're running a Tim Hortons franchise and I sell 5,000 Timbits. Okay. I sold 5,000 Timbits. I don't know if you ate them or not. I don't know if you threw them in the garbage. I don't know if they were used or not. I know I sold 5,000 Timbits. That's what I'm going to announce for my sales that day. So when we have 5,200 tickets, I don't think there's ever been a game where you get 100% scan, what we call scan rate.
Right.
Scan rate can range anywhere from -5% to probably -30% on some nights. In other words, not everybody uses their tickets. But we just announce our legitimate, real live tickets. We don't fabricate numbers. We don't pad numbers. We just say, here's the number of legitimate tickets we have out there, and that is our announcement.
So to clarify, those are paid tickets?
Well, they're paid, or they do include comp tickets, but we are very tight on our comp tickets. And I'm glad you brought that up, because somebody made a comment last year about, you guys have got some good attendance because you just papered the town with free tickets, and we simply don't do that. One example of that that people use is our school program nights. So we go into the schools, we do this amazing program, and then the kids are rewarded with tickets. So to the kids, the tickets are free, but those are paid for tickets. Don't kid yourself. We don't give out that many free tickets ever. I might give out 14 free tickets for various draws and raffle nights and that sort of thing. We give out donation stuff all the time. But the number of comp tickets, you know, billet parents get complimentary tickets. Our volunteers, some of them have some complimentary tickets if they're on a night off and they want to come to a game. Some of our sponsors, there's really no free tickets. They might have comp tickets, but they've paid us in other ways. For example, Brownridge and Company Insurance helped us with the score clock with some advertising on that. And in exchange for that, there were some complimentary tickets. So I think it's a really good question to ask, the whole thing about comp tickets. There's very few actual just handout tickets. They are legitimately paid for, or we're compensated in other ways for those tickets.
It dilutes the product if you give it away for free.
Well, we'll go out of business, because once you start discounting tickets and giving them all free, why would anybody want to buy a ticket? So, and the other side of that is we're proud of what we're offering for our ticket prices. We think we've got amazing ticket prices. In fact, I'll go as far as saying some of the best in the league as far as the choices that we've got. And we want to also hold our head up high and say, whatever you pay for your ticket, we're going to give you your money's worth.
You rectified a situation with the seniors, and you listened to some of the fans that thought that there needed to be more structure to the pricing. Just sort of take us where you were and what you have now in terms of ticket prices, and where you can rank in terms of compared to other teams, because I don't think there's a lot of teams that offer an $8 ticket.
No. No, there certainly isn't, especially for any age.
Yeah, and that's so, based on a season ticket price, by the way. I think 13 is walk-up.
That's correct. Right. So, yeah, I would just call our ticket pricing part of the evolution. And this is, again, one of the changes that we made, for better or worse or in between. In the old days, hockey teams just set their ticket prices and take it or leave it. If you can't afford it, too bad. We've continued to listen to our fans, and we've adjusted our ticket prices every single year since we've taken over the team six, heading into our sixth season now. And this latest one is just another adjustment. So we've listened to fans. We've continued to make adjustments. So what we've done now is introduce seniors and youth pricing into some of the ticket zones, so that the idea is that if you're a senior or a youth, you're capped. So the most you can possibly pay to come to a Cougars game, if you're a senior or a youth, is $19. Those are for the very best seats, all the way down to, for walk-up tickets, $13, or for season members, it's just a little over $7 for any age. So we've got a really nice spread of ticket prices. And the other thing I'm really proud about with them is that they're good seats. We don't actually give you junky, crummy seats for the cheap tickets. They're actually considered very good seats in many arenas.
Yeah, and I know you can be in row 3 or 4, and if you're on a season ticket, you know, you're paying just under $8, and if it's a walk-up, It's
13 bucks any, yeah. Starting at $13, yeah. Any age. So we are actually among the cheapest ticket prices in Prince George for sports type entertainment, and for that matter, theater and other types of entertainment. And we are definitely among the lowest in British Columbia and probably the entire league.
And yet your costs are higher than just about every team, if not every team, because of the travel.
Yes and no. Again, we are moving away from using travel as an excuse and a hard done by story. So yeah, we travel a lot. We're in the top third of the team, but there are actually other teams that travel a lot. There's a lot of teams that are in our category, about a third of the league actually. So we can say yes, we have to travel another 4,000 or 5,000 kilometers more than other teams. But at the end of the day, Hartley, everybody's got a tough travel schedule. Well, that's not totally true. A couple teams have a very easy schedule, but there's many of us in the same boat. But yes, it is very expensive for us. And now going into the States, this last couple of years have been hellish as far as the budgets go.
Yeah. I will say this, though. Your closest travel is Kamloops, which is still a six-hour drive, good conditions. With Winnipeg now in the league, Brandon has a close. Nobody else has that far for their closest travel. I think that's pretty safe to say.
That's safe to say. But again, I often talk about this because I've been through it all through the major midget leagues and so on. I've spent years and years and years being on buses with traveling with teams, and there's a lot of benefit that comes from those bus travels too. And the boys on the team will tell you that themselves about how it really creates some extra bonding and some extra time to talk with each other and actually get to know each other. So there are some advantages.
You are listening to CAT Scan. It's brought to you by Prince George Office Systems, custom business solutions for your print, scan, and copy needs on the corner of 5th and George. Travel. Transportation. You've got a new bus.
Yes, that's pretty exciting for us.
Like, tell us all about it.
Yeah, that's been quite a while in the works. So our old bus has got an enormous amount of history and a fair number of miles and just a lot of stories, but it was time to retire that bus. And so we were looking for solutions, but the solution actually came to us because quite a few other teams are doing a similar situation to us. So we were approached by Pacific Western Transportation. We talked about what was happening, what we had heard with some of the other teams. And at the end of the day, we've just signed a 10-year agreement with them to become partners of ours and provide us with a brand new, just under $1 million bus. Just arrived. It is literally brand new. It's a 2020 bus. The most important parts about this new bus, well, I guess there's another important part that I just want to touch on, and that's our commitment to Prince George, because apart from the other benefits that I'm going to talk about with the bus, it's also a further demonstration that our ownership and our management, we're all in this city, and we just want to be here and to have everybody be happy with us and proud about us. So we've signed a new lease with the city. We've got a new bus. We've got new boards and glass. We've got, you know, an amazing new associate coach and et cetera, et cetera. But the bus, the main thing about the bus is that in this day and age, we must provide the safest possible transportation for the players. And secondly, in light of your comments about our travel and so on, as many creature comforts as we can possibly put in there. So this has got all the bells and whistles on both sides of that.
I want to get back to the bus in just a moment, but you just touched upon something. Do you still hear as much, even though you've announced long-term commitments, do you still hear, well, maybe they're not going to be here as long-term as they say? Is that still out there in your mind?
I think in 25 years, there's always typically non-fans that like to chirp us. And you know, it's the usual thing with social media and so on. You always get the people in their basements that want to send out nasty messages. But no, we don't hear that. The majority of people, especially the faithful people that are continuing to come to our games, they like the Cougars. They believe in us. They know that they if you come to our games regularly, you'll see what we put into it. It's, you know, we are completely an all-in. And I don't think that's a question mark in anybody's mind. I think rumors do swirl from time to time, but I've heard them for a quarter century, Hartley, so I'm not sure there's any more or any less right now.
All right, so in terms of the bus, what does this new one have and provide that maybe the old one did not?
Well, it's got a lot of driver safety technology. So one of the really cool things is a 360-degree camera system, so the bus driver can see all the way around the entire bus, which is great for double-checking blind spots and so on. It's got crash avoidance systems. It's got almost like a black box on an airplane, so if it did have any sort of incident whatsoever, it we know what gear it was in and how fast it was going and where the steering wheel was and so on. It's amazing technology. But it's also got three-point safety belts on every single seat, and that is a big change because a lot of the older buses have zero seat belts. So we've got very nice seats, very nice seat belts for everybody. And then there's just a lot of bells and whistles as far as entertainment. It's got, if you've been on a plane lately on a WestJet or Air Canada, it's kind of similar to that where you can plug your iPhone or your laptop right into your seat, and then you have an in-flight, if you like, choice of movies and TV shows that you can watch. And so each guy could actually be watching a different show or a different movie on their own devices. Really, really quite something.
As part of your team, you have as likable a bus driver in the league as there is, Ralph Pastorero. He says, though, only one more year, so you're going to have to find a replacement somehow.
Yeah, for sure. So we absolutely are, and this is one of the things that Pacific Western Transportation has assured us is that we're going to have very much of a say in who that is, and we're going to be trying out some different drivers. And you know, it's as much for us as for the driver, because the driver needs to enjoy this too and needs to see it as a perk and a lot of fun. And we want a driver that is a fan of the team, a friend of the team, a reliable driver, of course, but also wants to be there and is looking forward to the trips, because that's certainly what Ralph brought to the table. He's a bus driver, but he's also a fan, and we definitely need to find a replacement that can be similar.
Now, I know that bus isn't your favorite mode of transportation, and car and truck, your favorite, you have to be honest, and people are going to be surprised at this because they see Andy Beasley, he's a suit, he's an executive, but really, it's about that motorcycle. Come on, it really is.
Yeah, I'm a hardcore biker,
I just don't look like it.
Well, no, because I'm a soft marshmallow couch potato driver is what I really am. I my wife and I have a Honda Goldwing. It is in fact a couch on wheels, but we love that, and that is an amazing way to just get away from the business of hockey and just get my mind far, far away from time to time.
So you went to Penticton in the summer to get away from hockey. Did you actually get away?
Oh, not at all. No, I did a coach interview down there, and I had several business meetings and calls every day, but I did get away in the sense that we were able to also turn it off for a large part of the day. And you know, this is not, it's not really, I was just talking to one of my staff about this the other day. Our job is not a career, and it's not a job. It really is a lifestyle. And it is for the hockey staff as well as the business staff. We never get away from it ever, because everywhere you go, like I'll go and watch a game down in Kelowna just to get away and to actually watch a game. I don't see any of the game because I'm busy looking at the video production and the on-ice entertainment, and I'm looking to see the flow of security and people, and I'm never able to shut off, and neither are the rest of our staff. You're on all the time.
You talk about entertainment at the games that the Cougars provide, as we are just early in the stages for this season. What can fans expect, those that have been at the games regularly and for those that only come out to a game now and then?
Well, first and foremost, as we were talking about earlier, every night I want people to feel as if they had a good night of entertainment. And people love seeing their kids dancing on the big screen, or we've got various all sorts of fun stuff that's happening there. We've got music on the concourse. We try and always have interesting things around the concourse. We do have some nice new surprises this year. We continually, even though we don't do food and beverage, we're working with food and beverage to keep bringing in some new items this year, and we've been pushing quite hard to try and get a few changes happening that I think we're going to see. But beyond that, we have got some we like pushing the envelope, and I've used the word outrageous with you before. Yes. In previous interviews, and we love outrageous things. And I can tell you, we do have some ridiculous things happening this year that are certainly going to amuse people, if not highly entertain them.
What about the music? I know that's not directly under your, leadership, but you have a say in that. How does that come about? Who makes the decisions on that for the games?
Well, so we have a dedicated music person that we hire, Patty Astorino. So she spends a great deal of the summer and throughout the winter researching music. She listens to other teams. She's very, very serious about it. I don't know if people understand the amount of work that goes into that. We bought her a very professional music program, so she's able to kind of gather trends that way. But to answer your question, that goes back to an early one we talked about, and that's my age versus some of our younger staff's age. Mm-hmm. So Ian Scott is our youngish director of business and game operations manager, and I let him run with it. He does a great job working with Patty. We get complaints no matter what we play, and we actually, I don't know if fans want to hear this, but we actually kind of smile a little bit about this at WHL meetings with the other teams, because when we talk about what's going well, what's not, and the topic of music comes up, we all say, it doesn't matter what you do, if you play country music, you get a complaint, it's too much country. Then you go to rock, too much rock. Then we play new rock, too much new rock. Then we play classic rock, too much classic rock. It's too loud. It's not loud enough. There's no atmosphere. There's too much atmosphere. So we obviously, and Ian tries to strike a balance and just keep everybody happy. And for the most part, I think we do. I guess it depends who you speak with.
But you have country nights even and those kinds of things. So you do recognize that there is a segment looking for a certain kind of music at games.
We're having a Vegas night this year. Yeah. That's going to be very special. Something's going to happen at that night that we'll announce a little closer to Christmas, but something that, again, we do not believe has ever happened at any hockey game ever in history, an event. Mm. And it's a Vegas-y type of theme, but, you know, on that night we're going to have Elvis impersonators. We're going to have a Marilyn Monroe singing the anthem, I believe. We've got a country night. We've got a 90s night where we're going to go back and play some, I'm going to have to hold my gag reflex a bit, right. But some of the 90s
rock
music.
Rock night? You have a rock night there?
Well, we're actually considering maybe having a live rock band night where we actually set up a rock band and we have them play during whistle stops and so on. So the answer is yes.
At the WHL meetings, there are 22 people, including yourself, in that position running the business operations. What are those discussions like that you guys go around the table? And I know everybody's trying to help one another, which is different than, you know, the hockey aspect where you're trying to beat the brains out of everybody. But you guys are, you know, I would imagine 22 of you, if you can help somebody, that's going to help hockey in general. How do those meetings work and where do you go and what do you get from that?
Well, the greatest thing about those meetings is that the WHL consists of incredibly experienced and talented, interesting people. Everybody's highly opinionated. Everybody's got a wide variety of backgrounds, but they are so exciting when you go and talk to each other because the amount of expertise that goes around those meetings is phenomenal. And you touched on this, the amount of openness people have to just crack open the vault, the secrets. What are you guys doing that's causing you to have this sort of success? And then they just pour their heart out and they tell you everything. And then they say, and call me later, I'll send you the stuff and I'll copy you in on emails we've done and so on. And we just are so open with each other because at the end of the day, again, everybody wants the same thing on the business side as everybody else. We all want the WHL to be successful. And as one team does, so does the other. We don't like to see anybody hurting, and if somebody's doing something great, we all want to share in the best practices.
Now, I would think that for the American teams, you know, they're looking at different things for their particular audience, whereas, you know, Prince George and maybe Kelowna Kamloops, where hockey is more prevalent, you're looking at something else. Would that make sense?
There is some big differences. The American audiences are different from Canadians in some respects. They have they're very well known for having chants, and like the audience is actually almost provides their own entertainment, right, in a lot of ways, and Canadians are a little more reserved. But the basic fundamental principles are all the same. We actually are all identical. We're all concerned about making it a good night of entertainment for fans over and above the hockey. But what else can we offer so they're happy? We're all concerned about the temperature. We're all concerned about the quality of the popcorn. We're all concerned about the music choices and the volume of the music and so on. And we're also concerned about moving more digital and finding ways to engage people that like to stare at their phones and use technology. And that's a huge challenge as well as an opportunity for us to continually share these commonalities that we've got with each other.
You're into year number six, and now you are in your early 60s, and I can relate to that. Do you have the same energy? I know you have the same passion, but do you have the same energy as you did when you started, and do you foresee that going forward?
Well, I think in a lot of cases I've got more energy.
Really?
And the reason is because, again, I go back to the staff that we're surrounded with. You know, I always believe that a leader or a manager is only good if you hire people that are better than you. And surround yourself with people that you know, quite frankly, the Fraser and Ian and Nolan and Joan and Bev, they all have elements that they can do a lot better than I can do. And because of that, that gives me a great deal of energy and a great deal of motivation to come to the rink. I do notice on some games where we're all running around like crazy and I've done 24,000 steps all, and you know the steps because you go up and down them, my legs hurt sometimes a little more than they used to even 5 years ago. So I have learned now just to walk a little slower in the afternoon and pace myself. But in terms of my energy and my motivation, if anything, it's gone up partly. I'm so excited about where our team is too, and I cannot wait for these next couple of years to unfold because I know what path we're on. I'm not going to brag about it because I've learned just to shut up and let's see where the team goes. But I know for sure that we're going to be getting better over the next few years, and I'm just thrilled to bits to be. I just want to be around to be part of that. I don't want to miss any of it.
And I know we touched on the last podcast about your big weight loss. It's not something that everybody knows, but you've done an excellent job at keeping that off. And has there been any, you know, any advice that you can offer or anything like that? Because a lot of people go through trying to lose a lot of, you lost a lot of pounds and were able to keep it off, where a lot of people lose it, put it back on. You were able to maintain it. Do you have any advice there?
You know, I actually don't.
Really?
No, I really don't. I think what people have to do is just continue to find their own path. I would maybe, if I had advice, it would be, don't give up. And if you've tried one thing and it's not working over and over again, don't do that anymore. There are several different healthy ways to lose weight. I found a formula that works for me. I don't preach it because I don't know if it'll work for anybody else. But I found
a
health.
Talk about that or share that a little bit, or
I'm cutting down the number of meals that I eat per day, and I don't eat a lot of processed food. I cook everything myself because that's one of the ways I get away from hockey on the weekends is I cook and I freeze it all. But you know, Hartley, again, that may or may not work for somebody else. But I've gone through, like other overweight people, I've gone through every possible diet on the face of the planet, and I guess the difference is I keep trying out different things, and I have found a couple of formulas that work for me, and that's the advice I would give is don't give up. But try something else. Don't keep doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result.
Yeah, good for you. How many years now has it been that you've been able to keep this off?
I think 1992.
Wow.
I'm going to say it's been a lot longer than I can actually count, but somewhere around that.
Good for you. Last message from you as the VP of business for the PG Cougars to the fans. The season is underway. It's 2019-2020. The message you want to leave with?
I will tell you that if you come to one of our games, that we have a very young team. These guys really, really want to win. We have such a good group of kids. We are saving some money this year on our budget because we don't need a lot of shaving cream and razors because these are kids. But we're talking high-end kids that we're going to watch grow up in the same way that we watch Connolly and Bufflin and Chera, Hamhuis, Brewer. The same way that we watch them grow up, not always with winning teams, but always with entertaining teams. That's what we're going through right now. I just want fans to understand that we are giving our heart, soul, resources, money, blood, sweat, tears. We believe so much in this team and the importance in Prince George. We know some people want to see more wins before they come back and see us. So be it. That's their choice. They have every right to feel like that. We know other fans have stuck with us through thick and thin. I just want fans to know that the Cougars care a lot about this community, and we are putting everything into this community and into this team because we all want the same thing.
Andy Beasley, appreciate you being with us. And CatScan, brought to you by Prince George Office Systems, custom business solutions for your print, scan, and copy needs on the corner of 5th and George.